Okay, this is David Corus, co-chair of the Finance Committee. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 10:01 a.m. I'm going to start with roll call in no particular order. Parker Wise.
Here.
John Johnson.
Here.
John Flores.
Here.
Paul Hinch. I thought I heard Paul. Maybe I was wrong. Okay. And Tom Patton is not going to be here today. Any other board members on the call? Okay. With four, we have a quorum. Move on to the next item on the agenda, approval of the August 16th Finance Committee meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved, David.
By John, is there a second?
Second, Parker.
Second by Parker. Any discussion or comments? I have just one. Andrew, I think you should just make a distinction in attendance between committee members and non-committee members, just so if folks are looking at the agenda to determine quorum, they can, because non-committee members won't count towards quorum.
Yep, got it.
Any other comments or questions?
This is John. This is John Flores. Just maybe when we have in the financial update, we just have the statement discussion with committee members. And I know that's been standard, but perhaps we can put just a little more detail. And I've mentioned this in the past about maybe having more detail in the minutes. But just, as to potential topics that we discussed, sure. Not necessarily going, point by point, but just something as a poll, because you can't really get a good feel for what we talked about.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's just a suggestion.
I'm fine with it. I think we, as we've discussed, we kind of moved to bare bones as required once we started posting the recording with the timestamp. But I think sort of outlining the broad topics is certainly certainly a good thing. Any other comments or?
I have a question on the minutes of August 16th. Item five, is the trip to Europe going to take place in late September?
Yep. So we are all set. It's going to be the very end of this month. I don't have all the prices, obviously, because some of it will be meal expenses while we're there. But we've worked out with Orsted and Eversource so that, all meals will be prorated so that I can easily pay my share. But I can report back that at least based on hotel and flight rates that I will definitely be under the dollar amounts that we discussed. But I'll have the final numbers for you all next month.
I'm sure that's true. I was just curious, who's going? Just you?
Yeah, for the Port Authority, it's just me, and there's going to be a representative from Advanced CT, which is like the, private economic development arm of the state, as well as Gateway, Eversource, and Orsted, and we've got a robust, short agenda of just a few days, visiting the port, visiting Orsted's office, visiting Siemens manufacturing facility, and visiting with the barge operator who's going to be moving the turbines for the first farm.
Great, thanks.
This is I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, John.
Yeah, no, this is John Flores. I was going to raise this in old business again. From the treasurer's viewpoint, we don't think this trip is necessary, so just wanted to get that out there. But we discussed this before. And I understand the consensus of the group, but I just wanted to mention that again.
Yep. Noted.
Hey, David. Yeah, David.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
From advanced, what's it, advanced technology or something?
Advanced CT.
Advanced CT. Is that Ron Angelo?
No, that's Connecticut Advanced.
Did
it's different. This is no, Alexandra is DECD. This is DECD's partner.
Okay.
It's run by Peter Denius. And they do a lot of the frontline recruitment work for the state.
Okay.
And so as we meet with Siemens and as we talk to them about supply chain and suppliers and what is going to go into the turbines that we could potentially attract to Connecticut, their
role I gotcha. Yeah.
Is gotcha. Very important.
Yep. Yep. Thank you.
Any other? Yeah, sure. Any other comments or questions on the minutes? Okay. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Next item on the agenda is public comment. Andrew, are there any members of the public?
Let's see. It does look like there are folks on the line. If any members of the public wish to speak at this time, please press star 6 to unmute your line and state your name if you'd like to make comment. Thank you.
Kevin Blacker, I'd like to make comment.
Yep, go right ahead, Mr. Blacker.
So I'm hoping that you'll provide the public and the press breakdown of the cost of legal services. I know for a couple months you've been saying you're going to provide that information. Basically, you know, looking for, you know, what has been spent, you know, on the Attorney General's investigation, the two separate federal investigations involving State Pier, the past Office of State Ethics investigation, the ongoing current Office of State Ethics investigation, as well as any other investigations that we may not be aware of. I know there's been some, you know, legal devoted to FOIA, you know, and then your regular operating. So I'm really hoping that you'll provide that breakdown, you know, to the public. Hoping that you guys will touch on, you know, give some type of an update on what's going on with costs over at State Pier. I know that they had been running into unexpected obstructions and had to bring in additional equipment, and they were concerned about that. I'd be very surprised if you don't say that we're going to have to wait until October to get that information, but we deserve an update of we deserve to know what you guys know in terms of you know, what they've found, whether were those you know, obstacles and obstructions are going to be something we can work around, whether we're still going to be able to make the hard deadline that you guys are facing. I note you know, from checking statepiernewlondon.com that gross maximum price is still not finalized. That you know, that's a milestone that you know, if we don't come up with the extra money, they can still back out despite what David Corus has said in the past. In regards to the European vacation, I think it was John Flores, but I could be mistaken, just stated while you guys were discussing the minutes that his office doesn't, I'm not sure whether it was John Flores or somebody from the treasurer's office, or maybe he is from the treasurer's office, but that they don't believe the trip is necessary. I would agree with those statements. During the deep permitting process, there's usually a walkthrough for the public of a project, and you guys didn't believe that it was necessary, you know, to have that walkthrough. And it was John Johnson said, well, you know, get some drone pictures. They can get some pictures. They can get just as good of an idea from a drone picture. And it's really offensive that you wouldn't let the public see what, you know, they're going to be investing $150 million plus in. And you wouldn't let us walk through it and see it in person because you thought that it was good enough to, you know, that we could see it virtually. But you think that you guys deserve, to go over there at our expense. So that's all I have to say at this time.
Great, thank you. Any other members of the public wish to speak at this time? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, financial update, and I'll hand it over to Ulysses and Veronica.
Okay, and I'm going to hand it off to Veronica and come back later to discuss the administrative hearing for the presiding officer.
Veronica, before you go, yes. Veronica, sorry, I meant to just say, I heard a beep. Did someone else join over the
last? Yes, I'm sorry. It's Paul Hinch. Sorry, I'm late.
No worries. Thanks, Paul.
Good morning. This is Veronica. Hopefully, you've all received the financials for this meeting, which basically cover the fiscal year 2023, which we started July 1st. So first of all, the report will cover two areas. One, fiscal year 2022 closeout and where we are with that, and then fiscal year 2023. So I'll start with 2023. As you can see, I have posted the approved budgets by budget line item, and there's not been a lot of activity for actuals as far as the months of July and August. I anticipate July and August being slow months. A lot of folks are on vacation, not much happening. We are processing documents, either if they're related to revenue or expenses for 2023 now. As you can see, revenue is, we did receive our first quarter $200,000 from the DOT appropriation to cover salaries. And I've indicated there what I expect in the second, third, and fourth quarter. We did receive the revenue from Gateway of $79,591. And there has been some revenue from the Sound Pilot. On the agenda, as item number five, I was going to talk about the fiscal year 23 pilot commission budget revision. Under salaries and expenses, as you can see, our budget number for fiscal year 23 versus our actuals so far, that's right on track. In the contractual area, we did process one invoice for the 2022 audit that's ongoing now with Cohen Resnick. Once again, just processing normal operations invoices. Nothing jumps out at me. I do have a separate report attached to this packet, which breaks out the legal expenses by internal and external matters that we can discuss if you have questions on that. We did have some expenses for travel to the Boston conference, which I've indicated under meals and lodging, et cetera. And of course, we have instituted or started with fiscal year 2023, all entries, whether they be payment of invoices or general journal entries, we have attached within QuickBooks the backup documentation that goes along with either a revenue entry or an expenditure entry, so that when we're in fiscal year 2023 throes of audit for the budget, audit for 2023, QuickBooks will have the documentation in there electronically so that we can easily send those documents to the auditor when they request a backup documentation. We are keeping hard copy files in the office in Old Saybrook. For the most part, we're moving towards electronic files of everything, written directions, invoices, anything that, things that the auditor asks you for on a yearly basis during the audit. My goal is to be able to provide that to the auditor electronically. Under administrative and general expenses, nothing really to point out. We have paid 2 months of rent for the Old Saybrook office, so we're right on track there. I wanted to break out the insurance liability, the distinction between general operations, CPA operations, and the insurance marine liability that has to do with the New London State Pier. And I've made a note in the remarks or the note section for you to know that the general operations property and executive protection, crime, cyber, that's paid out of general operations. Marine liability insurance that has to do with the New London State Pier will be paid from core project funding. And as Ulysses mentioned last month, we are in the process of selling our Ford Explorer. So even though I have in the budget $3,624 for auto insurance, more than likely that number will be considerably lower. Let's say if we happen to sell the vehicle in the first quarter, then you would only see insurance coverage for the first quarter. If it happens to be the second quarter, then it'll be for two quarters. The impact fee that we paid to the City of New London of $79,591 has been made. So far, fiscal year 2023 is normal. There's no surprises. I'm on track as far as getting the bank reconciliations done. Do I have any questions?
Yeah, sure. Veronica, I have a couple of questions. Number one, my eyes are either getting older or the print's getting smaller. Is there any way that we could put this on 11.5 by 17 sheets? Would that make it up a little bit bigger?
It would. It's one of those things where I can make it on legal size paper, so that if you're reviewing it, you can review it on your laptop or your desktop screen, and it would be larger.
If that's not too much of a problem, I would love to have the next month just to try it and see, because it really is a bit of a stretch.
Might be an issue. I was just going to say too, Veronica, are these like a direct output or are these printed and then scanned?
They're printed and then scanned.
Yeah, I think that might be part of it too. I mean,
you make a point.
There's just a tiny bit of blur
fuzz
from the scanner, I think, that just makes it a little bit harder to read. You add that to the size, and I think it compounds it. I don't know what the best solution is there, but.
Well, what I could do is I could not include the notes that you see, because once you do that, it will make the column width larger so that you can read the column width.
The notes are very helpful. The notes are helpful.
Oh, okay.
Can I continue on with a question, Veronica?
Sure.
The insurance for the vehicles. Suppose that one of staff gets in an accident in his own car. There is coverage under our general liability policy, right?
That question I cannot answer. I would have to talk to our insurance broker. I don't know for sure.
It'd be a good question to answer, to ask.
Yes.
The last point I would like to mention, do you have available now or sometime in the future our cash position on a monthly basis for operating, only for operating? I'm not talking about anything else. Is that something that's available on a monthly basis to us?
Sure.
Don't need it right now, but maybe next month you could just give us an idea what our cash position is. That's always crucial, I think, in business anyway. So.
Okay, and that is just for general operations?
Yeah, just general operations. I don't need to know anything else about the bond accounts or any of that. Just general operations.
Okay, sure.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I was just going to see if there was other questions or comments on the P&L.
I guess our audit's going to cost us about $30,000. Is that right, Veronica?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So if there are no questions, then the next item on the agenda, if I may, David, is number 5, which has to do with the FY23 Pilot Commission budget revision. Last month, John Johnson mentioned to me that the budget for the Pilot Commission appeared low, and it prompted me to take another look at it, and what line item we're looking at is... it's under revenue. It's 40010. So I went back. The number that was generated or put in the budget was a number that was in there from the previous financial consultant. So what I did was I went and talked with Captain Murray from the Pilot Commission, and we went over the fact that, you know, they use a calendar basis for their quarters, and of course the CPA uses a fiscal year basis. So I kind of laid out where I thought we were as far as what they have paid, the pilot fees that they have paid to us. And Captain Murray and I both agree that the budget for the Pilot Commission for 2023 should be closer to $90,000. Instead of the $66,200 that was actually placed in the budget. So, I did ask Captain Murray if he had talked with the previous financial consultant about the budget for 2023, and he said no, that he didn't. So I think the previous person was just using what the budget number was for 2022 and then went on from there. So my recommendation is that we increase our budget for the Pilot Commission to $90,000 based upon a past pilotage fees that have been collected in 2022 and anticipated to be collected in 2023.
Well, it's a lot better to adjust on that side of the ledger than rather than cost, right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Any comments or questions on that proposed revision? Okay, is there a motion to amend budget line 40010 from the current budgeted amount of $66,200 up to an increased revenue amount of $90,000?
So moved.
By John, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Was that Paul. Thanks. Yeah. Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay.
This is I'm sorry, David. This is John Flores. Perhaps yep. Veronica, I don't know if she, from her conversation, whether it was a conversation or a letter, but maybe we could have something documenting the conversations to so that a year from now, if somebody's looking, why did we increase it? There's some piece of paper showing it was based upon a conversation that Veronica had with, you know, such and such.
And I do have that. I have an email that documents.
Oh, great. Good.
And then I also have Joe Salvador's agreement on, he also thought that that 90,000 was a much better budgeted number for the pilot commission. So, yes, I do have that in writing.
Good.
Fantastic. John, I'd just like to say that you can count on Veronica doing that as a matter of course.
All right, good.
Great.
It's just because I have a poor memory, so I wouldn't remember why we did it.
Well, you
getting old as a bitch.
And I call that CYA.
Yeah, there you go.
I call that good governance. You see?
There you go. And to that point, John, let me also add that under her leadership and also that of Andrew here too, the electronic online records management for financial and operating systems has been totally enhanced. So in anticipation also of the next audit, it's going to be light years ahead of where we've been, but they have put a great deal of work into this, and I think you're going to see this in the future as well.
Nice words.
Good. Great. Okay, Veronica, why don't you move us on to the next item?
I'm now on item number 6, which talks about fiscal year 2022 budget revisions, and you do have a separate document that shows the pluses and the minuses. But before I go there, I just want to say that on the 2022 budget, I still have draft marked at the very top of the form because we are still posting, we're still adjusting, we're working with OPM, Kim Kedison's office, to get the 22 numbers exactly where they need to be before I turn the trial ballots over to Cohen Resnick. I spoke with Cohen Resnick, auditor, yesterday, and I briefed her where we are. She's okay with that. She did say that she's now expecting a trial balance from me by October 1st, which I think we can do, no problem. I don't see any issues. As you can see, I've laid out what the 22 budget was and where I think the actuals are coming in at. The budget revision document goes line by line to show you where there were surpluses by line, budget line item, and where there were deficits. So I tried to address each one. And I would need you all to take a look at the budget revision document and let me know if you have any problems with it or if you have any changes or edits that you want to make. Of course, the pluses and the minuses equal at 162,663, and you can see by the budget line items where the budget for a particular item was set, and then of course the actuals came in at a different number. So, I can give you an example with
Veronica,
communication.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Veronica, just hold on just one second. I don't know that we have the budget revision document Is anyone else having a hard time finding it?
Yes. I have a one-page sheet.
Yeah, sorry. I found it. I found it. I found it embedded in the finance report. My apologies. Yep. If anyone else is looking for it, it's page 3 in the financial packet. I had scrolled past it inadvertently.
So, you know, we'll use salaries as an example. You know, based upon what the budget was and where the salaries actually came in at, we needed to reprogram that budget line or revise that budget line item to add $7,717 to that so that that budget line item was not in the red. So I did that for each of the items that were listed here, the from and then the to, and we should be set. I don't expect any of these numbers to change once the final trial balance is given to the auditor. So this should do it for the fiscal year as far as the budget revisions.
And I guess I'll just add, you all may recall, we did some budget revisions last fiscal year, and I think, you know, this just shows that, you know, some of the advice we got from the financial consultant was a little bit off in terms of what he was projecting for year end versus where we ended up. I mean, things that we dialed back, you know, like telephone and internet that we now need to dial back up, though minor numbers, you know, just I think reflects some mistakes in projections that were done before Veronica's time.
And this all deals on the expense side of the budget, not the income side, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
Yep. Yep.
And just to be totally clear, it does not change the bottom line. Just make sure that we close the year without any budget lines in excess of budgeted amount. Any questions or comments from anyone on any of the lines? What I'll do is I think for documentation purposes and transparency, I think I'll read them all out and request a motion to approve these as presented. So the resolution is to adjust the following accounts down by lowering the budgeted amounts as follows. 51300, communications outreach, reduction of 39,465. 51550, operations and maintenance, reduction of 8,382. 51601, legal services, project bond, permitting, reduction of 35,284. 51770, marketing, business development, reduction of 61,573. 52601, water, sewer, fire, stormwater for New London State Pier, reduction of 17,959 for a total reduction of budgeted expenditure amounts of 162,663. That money will be reallocated to budget increases in the following lines and amounts. 50100 salaries for an increase of 7,717. 50200 payroll taxes for an increase of 9,690. 50300 fringe benefits for an increase of 8,920. 51400 contractual services for an increase of 12,712. 51600 legal services internal matters for an increase of 18,555. 51602 legal services external matters, and this represents a totality of the external legal costs from last fiscal year, an increase of 92,466. 51730 mileage reimbursement for an increase of 548. 52250 office supplies for an increase of 2038. 52260 office maintenance for an increase of 184. 52550 telephone and internet for an increase of 3166. 52653 insurance for the vehicle for an increase of 1,725, and 53000 depreciation expense, an increase of 4,942, for a total increase of 162,663, the exact same dollar amount represented by the decreases from the other line items articulated earlier. Is there a motion to approve those budget amendments for the fiscal 22 year?
I'll make that motion, David.
Moved by John Johnson. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by John Flores. Any question or discussion? Okay, I would just ask, just for future reference, Veronica, could you circulate the budget amendments we made in the past just so that we can see which ones of these are actually reimbursing the reductions that we had made previously based on recommendations from the financial consultant?
Sure.
Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Ulysses, I think you're going to give us an update on the procurement of an administrative hearing officer.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. You may recall in the June meeting, the board approved the resolution accepting the Connecticut Pilot Commission's recommendation that we as the authority hold a contested hearing regarding the grounding of the Great Comfort that took place in New Haven Harbor by a Connecticut pilot. The board resolution that was passed by the board authorized the executive director to initiate a contested case administrative hearing. And it went on to indicate that the executive director was to retain and had the authority to retain in accordance with the authority's procurement rules an individual with the requisite knowledge and experience to act as a presiding officer at these hearings, and to take also all such further actions and execute and deliver all such reasonable and necessary documents that would also be associated with this practice. With respect to the operating procedures of the authority, the procedures indicate that the public solicitation is not required for purchases greater than $5,000 and less than $50,000. However, for goods or services that are greater than $5,000 but equal to or less than $20,000, verbal quotes from at least three vendors must be sought. The section also notes that for goods and services greater than $20,000 but equal or less than $50,000, written quotes from at least three vendors shall be sought. The procedures also indicate that the board approval is required for any non-budgeted expenditure. Again, any non-budgeted expenditure in excess of $5,000. With respect to where we are today, the authority has authorized the initiation of an administrative hearing and the retention of a hearing officer. That is, the board did. However, as the executive director, I've now developed a scope of work administrative hearing officer criteria and the scoring. We've solicited also written quotes from four vendors, even though the operating procedures only as a threshold requires only verbal quotes for services greater than $5,000 but less than $20,000. We've also, with respect to expenditures in this situation, the expenditure will not exceed $5,000. In fact, the expenditure will not exceed $3,000. So we are definitely well under the $5,000 threshold under our procedures. Also, we have budgeted amount and allowance for contractual services has sufficient funds available to advance attention of an administrative hearing officer. We have also interviewed three candidates and have identified a candidate eminently qualified to serve as a hearing officer. Just to give you some background on the hearing officer that we have now settled on, he's a retired federal administrative law judge, having most recently completed service of 11 years with the Department of Homeland Security in 2018. He has presided over innumerable hearings involving sensitive and highly classified matters relating to national security, including several highly publicized trials involving licensed maritime officers. He is also a retired United States Air Force judge advocate, having served 21 years as a decorated military prosecutor, investigator, and military judge on active duty and in the reserves. So given, the information presented and the fact that the contract expenditure is a budgeted item, does the Finance Committee agree that the Executive Director can execute a contract with the preferred hearing officer for the administrative hearing and that we have the authority to proceed? That is what I'm bringing before you today.
So I'd ask Ulysses to update us all on this in the hopes that we can allow him to proceed without having to call a special meeting of the board. And as he's outlined, he is able, based on board discussions and authorizations to date and based on our budget, to proceed. But we want to make sure that everyone concurs, or a majority concurs, I should say.
Mm.
Any thoughts or concerns?
Suppose this is a longer than anticipated hearing. Is there any possibility that we will exceed the number that you gave us?
That is also something I've contemplated, John. I am a 22-year myself, 22-year state court administrator, and I've presided and basically supervised, if you will, an innumerable number of these types of matters. I can tell you that the quote that we have from the candidate right now is a little over $2,000, but I do not anticipate this to exceed $3,000, quite frankly.
Okay.
We will be well under our threshold of $5,000.
Yeah, that satisfies my question. Yeah. Thank you.
Right.
Any other questions or concerns?
This is John. I'm sorry, Ulysses, John Flores. Did you mention he had Air Force experience? Does he have maritime experience? Or I don't know whether you need that in order to be able to resolve the issues, but just asking a question.
Yes, he does. He has considerable maritime experience. As a matter of fact, some of the other candidates that we also interviewed, they also have their maritime litigation attorneys. This particular individual has considerable maritime experience as a U.S. Air Force judge advocate, but also in his role as a federal administrative law judge.
with Homeland Security.
Okay, good. I didn't hear it the first time around, so that's good.
Okay.
Do we
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I don't know if we have any options here, but are we anticipating any legal costs that the administrative hearing officer is going to have to go to legal counsel for advice on stuff, or this is just the hearing, the ALJ will issue the decision, and we go from there?
It is just a hearing. It is a hearing that he has considerable experience in conducting and has conducted many of these before, and did not anticipate there to be really any other issue other than, holding a pre-conference hearing with the parties and witnesses. But that's it. It's all being handled by the presiding officer.
Okay.
I'll just add that we did have legal expenses up to this point. I think Ulysses is absolutely correct, as he made clear, that we don't anticipate any going forward, but we did have legal expenses that have already been paid, and most of which was in last fiscal year, getting us to the position where we could have the hearing, because we didn't have, all the policies set up for it because we had never done it before. And so going back through, comparable processes at DOT, in the pilot commission statute, et cetera, Ulysses can talk more about that, but there were CPA legal expenses to get us to this point. But now that the process is set up, whenever we do these, and hopefully we don't have to do them anymore beyond this in the future, it's just the cost of the hearing itself.
That is absolutely correct. This type of hearing in Connecticut, the last time this happened, it was over 15 years ago. And so we did call on our counsel to assist us, and prior to, of course, this administrative hearing, to assist us in the development of a citation, for instance, a notice of hearing, for instance. They also assisted us with respect to forms when it comes to a request for services. So those types of administrative preparations, those were the types of things that our counsel provided and assisted us with prior to us getting to this point.
Okay, but if there are decisions issued and the captain doesn't like the decision or the pilot doesn't like the decision, I guess an appeal can occur, which then may mean we may get legal. I'm just trying to anticipate worst case scenarios.
I understand. What happens in this case too is that the decision will come to the commission. Will come to our board. Our board. He is making a recommendation to our board. The fate of this particular pilot is really in the hands of the board. The decision and recommendation will come to the board, but it will be up to the board to decide what exactly the final decision in this case will be. Is there an opportunity for an appeal after the board makes its decision? Of course.
Yep.
Yes.
To whom? To whom?
But that's
could it. To whom well, could he appeal? Federal courts?
Ulysses, do you know the answer to that? To whom is he able to appeal?
Well, he will appeal to the federal courts, yes. U.S. District Court.
Thank you.
Or he could appeal, I should say. Could appeal. Yeah. That, of course, too, has never happened in our case, because there's only been really one case.
So I think as this discussion makes clear, there is still some uncertainty in how the process plays out, and there would undoubtedly be costs associated with that. But we got to get to step one. other comments or questions on engaging the hearing officer? Okay, so Ulysses, you'll proceed and you'll give us an update at the October committee meeting and board meeting.
Absolutely.
Do you anticipate, I guess that's a question, and I don't recall, given sort of notice requirements, would the hearing take place between now and our October board meeting, or would it be sometime soon thereafter?
Okay. We are required to provide for the respondent no less than a 14-day hearing notice. Now, that's after also discussing with the presiding officer the setting of a hearing date, but after that date is also established, we must give the respondent pilot no less than 14 days. So theoretically, we could proceed roughly about 15 to 25 days from now with respect to a hearing. I mean, that's theoretical. But I would think that we're really looking at probably 30 days, within 30 days of being able to conduct, that is, to start a hearing and conclude it.
Got it. Okay, so you'll have an update at the board meeting, but the hearing won't likely have taken place by then.
That is correct.
Okay. All right, any final questions or comments before we move on?
Do we need a motion to not take this matter to the board, David?
I don't think so. You know, I think as Ulysses made clear, he is operating within our adopted procedures. I think we just wanted to make sure you all had an update.
Sure.
Okay. Thanks, Ulysses. Item 8 is old business. Any old business anyone would like to bring up at this time? Okay. Any new business? Okay. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
But John, is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Second by John. Meeting is adjourned at 10:54. Thank you all. And you'll get some information shortly about October's board meeting.
Have a good
rest of the day.
Thank you, everyone. Take care. Bye.